Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the weekend and welcome to the Prophecy News Podcast. Are we right now watching the long-called-for global depopulation demanded by the New World Order eugenicists? That's a mouthful. You know, yesterday the Biden administration announced that they would be drastically reducing the amount of life-saving monoclonal antibodies currently being sent to areas hard hit by COVID-19 like Florida, Arizona, and, well, just about all the conservative states. Such an act by the Biden administration is tantamount to murder. Just imagine if the medicine in question was something designed to treat heart attacks instead of COVID. But this is only the beginning. The New World Order has decreed that if you refuse to be injected with the vaccine, you will no longer be allowed to live. Welcome to the real-life Hunger Games. John 16:2 in your King James Bible says, "Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, the New World Order for over a century has broadcast in overt statements as well as through the arcane medium of predictive programming the coming planned global reduction of the human population. Population reduction has long been the rallying cry of eugenicists like Sir Francis Galton, Margaret Sanger, Adolf Hitler, David Rockefeller, George Soros, Bill Gates Sr., Bill Gates III, Planned Parenthood, the United Nations, the World Health Organization. And just for fun, it's also engraved on the tables of the Georgia Guidestones. So my question to you is this. Has the killing already begun? Today on the Prophecy News Podcast, we will show you some mind-numbing revelations happening right now, and then take you to the Book of Revelation, where it has all been foretold in the Scripture of Truth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, coming up on 200 in the chat room, hundreds of people listening around the world. Thousands more will listen live. And yet, Lord, the most important thing that we could ever talk about is salvation in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father God, for anybody listening who is not saved, that something would be said and done to lead a lost soul to you. And we pray, Father God, that you would bless this podcast, as rough as it may be today. And we ask that your word, Lord, go forward in spirit and in truth. Lord, we're here to sound the alarm. We're here to blow it. We're here to blow the trumpet. And we're here to warn the people, Lord. And we're here to remind saved people that there is a job to do. Isaiah 18:3. All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see ye when he lifteth up an ensign on the mountains, and when he bloweth a trumpet, hear ye. Lord, we just pray that something would be said and done to lead a lost soul to you. We pray that Sarah in Pennsylvania would be saved. Greg and Melissa Price, salvation. Today we're praying for one of our own, Patty D. She's not in the chat room today. And her husband passed away suddenly yesterday. He went home to be with Jesus from a heart attack. He was only 66 years old. Patty, you'll remember, is still grieving the death of her favorite uncle. And today, Patty is hosting the entire family for the uncle's funeral, while she at the same time is having to plan the funeral for her husband. That is simply overwhelming. And we lift up Patty today. Man, sometimes it just gets tough, doesn't it? Seems like you don't have a friend in the world. And if you're standing for Jesus Christ, you'll have less and less friends with each passing day. I don't have hardly any of the friends now that I had before I started Now the End Begins. I have friends, but they're all new friends. Maria Welch says thank you for prayers for her daughter Jessica. She needs to get into a program. She needs to get on track with the Lord. Please keep Jessica Welch in your prayers. Clayton Perry battling cancer. Lots of prayers today. Lots of people. Lots of hurting people. Kentucky Jeffrey said, I have to work today and I'm going to have to listen to the program afterwards. But please keep me in your prayers. Kentucky Jeff is a street preacher out in Ohio. Guest S.A.J. says, please pray that I will go and stay committed to the evangelism training program starting at my church tomorrow for 6 weeks. I have been trying to do this for many years and something always comes up. This time I have made a public declaration that nothing was going to get in my way, and wouldn't you know it, I have been under spiritual attack since making that statement. Please keep S.A.J. in your prayers. Starting a evangelism training program at her church. I just hope they're using the King James Bible. Please keep S.A.J. in your prayers. Natalie O'Keefe says, my husband Ken was diagnosed with melanoma on his neck. And April 3rd went to the doctor, and 2 weeks later, when it appeared, he's going to have it surgically removed. And Natalie says, Ken is definitely a Christian, but he needs to have a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So please pray for Natalie's husband, Ken, for a full healing from the melanoma and that he would get back on track with the Lord. Lola says, we are weary. Give us strength, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, it says this about the Antichrist. Now, we are not living in the time of the Antichrist, and neither will we be. We will be removed before that time. But this is what the Antichrist is going to do to the tribulation saints. Daniel 7:25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. Man, it kind of feels like that right now, doesn't it? I think we're getting a little bit of a taste of that right now. Shannon Kay says, prayers for a hedge of protection about this ministry, amen, and all those listening and who will listen. Beverly says, pray for salvation for my daughter Jennifer, son Brian, husband Lawrence. Cher says, asking for prayer, my work is going mandatory October 1st. Lots of people's jobs are going mandatory by October 1st, by October 15th. So, Father God, for all these prayers, Lord, we pray that, you know, your word says, Father God, that we are to give him, that's you. The Bible says in Isaiah 62:7, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Well, you know, Jerusalem's not going to be a praise in the earth until the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that can't happen until the time of the great tribulation for 3.5 years. And that can't happen until the time of Jacob's trouble, which is a 7-year period, which includes the time of the great tribulation. And that can't happen until the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, when Jesus comes to take his bride from off the face of the earth. So how I read it in Isaiah 62:7, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth, to me, that's a prayer for the rapture of the church. Because before the rapture of the church, none of these things can take place. Even so, come Lord Jesus, come and get your bride. We're ready to go. Mike 16:11 says, pray for my nephew for a medical exemption waiver against the vaccine. Lord, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, and especially for Patty D, grieving the loss of her favorite uncle, grieving the loss of her husband who died yesterday. Lord, he's safe with you, but there's a big hole he left behind. And we pray especially for Patty D today, that God would comfort her, strengthen her, and in the midst of her sorrow, give her a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we commit this time to you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, welcome everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I saw a meme just this morning. It really kind of struck me. And the meme shows this scientific woman, and she's looking at all these scientific, medical, and research-based theorems. And this is what the meme says. The protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use the protection that didn't protect the protected. The protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use the protection that didn't protect the protected. That makes a lot of sense to me. The protected need to be protected from the unprotected. Well, I guess their protection is not working very well. I guess the protection that they're forcing everybody now to take really isn't all that it's cracked up to be. Most of you know I live in the great state of Florida. And yesterday, we did a story. It's not often that a story makes me mad enough to pound the desk when I'm writing it. But yesterday, one such story did. I'll give you the headline. And this was just yesterday. Biden cuts shipments of life-saving monoclonal antibody treatments to Florida as the Democratic campaign to punish the unvaccinated horrifyingly accelerates. Now, Biden's been saying for quite some time that we have a pandemic of the unvaccinated. So you know what they did yesterday? They decided to cut the amount of monoclonal antibody treatments that Florida has been receiving that has kept tens of thousands of people out of the hospital. Now, monoclonal antibody treatments are not perfect, but they work pretty good. I know people who have taken them, and they work pretty good. Well, Joe Biden has decided that because we have a pandemic of the unvaccinated, we've got to get rid of the unvaccinated. Now, before you think that I am just simply giving you fear-mongering, and before you think or stoop to accuse me of sensationalistic headlines to increase traffic, I want to play for you a couple of clips on how the Democrats think that the unvaccinated need to be gotten rid of.
I think we have to stop coddling people when it comes to this and the vaccine, saying, oh, you can't shame them. You can't call them stupid. You can't call them silly. Yes, they are. The people who aided and abetted Trump are stupid because they believed his big lie. The people.
All right, I'll stop Don Lemon right there. You see what the Democrats do? If you don't want to receive their injection, you are a Trump supporter. If you don't want to receive their injection, you're a Republican. And all these things are bad. You know why Adolf Hitler put yellow stars on Jewish people? Because it was his plan to get rid of them. And he started out by name calling. He started out by isolating them. He started out by reducing them to a group of people that were somehow out of the mainstream of society by the very nature of who they were.
People who are not getting vaccines, who are believing the lies on the internet instead of science, it's time to start shaming them. What else? Or leave them behind. Because they are keeping the majority of Americans behind. You didn't feel.
So, Don Lemon says that the reason why people don't want to receive the experimental vaccine, the reason why people do not wish to have this vaccine is because they believe, and I'm quoting Don Lemon now, one of the main talking heads over at CNN, Don Lemon, you just heard him say that the main reason why Trump supporters and Republicans refuse the vaccine is because they believe the lies on the internet. Well, let me take you to this story.
Well, maybe you saw the headlines last week. According to the mainstream media, so many people are overdosing on ivermectin, an anti-parasite drug promoted by vaccine skeptics as a possible treatment for COVID-19, that rural hospitals are overwhelmed with poison cases. The situation is so dire in Oklahoma that medical staff are exhausted. They're running out of ambulances and hospital beds, and doctors are so busy with ivermectin overdose patients that they don't even have time to treat gunshot wounds. This incredible story was first reported by a local news channel, KFOR, and then appeared at Newsweek, Rolling Stone, the New York Daily News, The Guardian, and elsewhere. Numerous high-profile media figures, including MSNBC's Rachel Maddow, tweeted about ivermectin overdoses straining Oklahoma hospitals, the implication being that the right-wing embrace of a crank COVID-19 cure was dangerous, not only for the people who consumed it, but for the stability of the entire medical system. But there's just one problem with this story. It's completely false.
So you have Don Lemon in the clip that I just previously played for you. Don Lemon says that the main reason why Trump-supporting Republicans refuse the experimental vaccine is because of the lies that they believe on the internet. Well, one of the biggest lies that has been on the internet all year long was the out-and-out lie that ivermectin causes blindness and ivermectin overdoses are so crowding the hospitals that they can't even treat regular patients for cancer and heart attacks and gunshot wounds. And that story was picked up by dozens of mainstream media outlets. Happened 2 weeks ago. And it was not mostly false, not kind of false. You know how Facebook says, we rate your comment as partly false because it's missing context. This story was 100% a lie. And you wonder why people don't believe the media? You wonder why people don't believe Anthony Fauci? You wonder why people don't believe Joe Biden? Because they are lying to you.
Its entire central premise, ivermectin overdoses are straining Oklahoma hospitals, was simply made up and gullibly recirculated by a lazy, unthinking mainstream media all too willing to believe the very worst about the lowly rubes. For Maddow and her ilk, it just sounds correct to them that there will be so many reckless right-wing people ingesting ivermectin, contrary to official guidance, that hospitals are flailing. The common people, unlike the discerning viewers of MSNBC, are stubborn and uneducated. That's the media's bias, thinking they always know better than you. Well, this viral hoax should serve as yet another wake-up call. Now, the trouble began with KFOR's Caitlin Ogle, who ran a story with the headline, "Patients Overdosing on Ivermectin, Backing Up Rural Oklahoma Hospitals and Ambulances." The meat of the story was a series of quotes from an Oklahoma doctor, Jason McKelia, who appears to attribute overcrowding at local hospitals to a deluge of ivermectin overdoses. Here's what McKelia told Ogle.
The ERs are so backed up that gunshot victims were having hard times getting to facilities where they could get definitive care and be treated.
Something McElyea says is now backing up small town ambulance systems too.
All of their ambulances are stuck at the hospital waiting for a bed to open so that they can take the patient in, and they don't have any, that's it.
Rolling Stone's version of the story quoted from McKelia's interview with KFOR, but did not provide any additional reporting or independently verified information. The image that accompanied the Rolling Stone story on Twitter featured people waiting in long lines while wearing winter coats, which, by the way, does not inspire great confidence that Rolling Stone knows what season it is in Oklahoma at present.
All right, I can't take any more of that garbage, but I think you get the point. Interestingly, where did I get that clip from? Fox News? Newsmax? Did I get that clip from the Alex Jones program? No. I got that clip from the far left leaning website called The Hill. That clip, that man you heard talking, is a Democrat. He is a liberal. I got it from a liberal website. I mean, we had this story right 2 weeks ago, and it's nice to see that some of the liberals are starting to catch up. But what I'm telling you is, when Don Lemon says that the stupid Trump supporters who refuse the vaccine need to be left behind and need to be cast out of society, you know what Maya Angelou once said? Am I going to quote a liberal poet? I absolutely am. You know what Maya Angelou said? And she was as far left as you could possibly hope to be. But, because I'm the type of person I believe you eat the meat and you spit out the bones, you take the good, you throw out the bad. Maya Angelou said something that is worth remembering. Maya Angelou said, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. When somebody shows you who they are, believe them. So every time that you hear any Democrat from now on say how stupid the anti-vaxxers are, and I have been an anti-vaxxer for the past 25 years, just so you know. I elected to not have my children vaccinated. So don't put me in that Republicans, Trump supporting people who refuse the vaccine. I wouldn't let my own children be vaccinated 25 years ago. I don't just talk the talk, I walk the walk. How many of you would have withheld vaccines from your children because you thought that they would be healthier without them? I did that 25 years ago. Has nothing to do with me being a Republican, has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with me being somebody who voted for Donald Trump twice. I refused the vaccine because I studied the vaccine. But going forward, I want you to make a mental note for yourself. Every time you hear Rachel Maddow, Seth Meyers, the guy from, oh, what is his name? The guy who said everybody in Florida should die when Trump got elected. What was his name from The Daily Show? Don Lemon, Chris Cuomo, anybody on CNN, MSN, NPR, ABC, CBS. Whenever you hear any liberal talking about how the unvaccinated need to be removed from society, I want you to believe them. And this is really the main theme of my podcast today. I want you to believe the people who tell you that the unvaccinated are bad and the unvaccinated are evil. And the unvaccinated need to be removed from society. I want you to listen to the words of the liberal poet Maya Angelou, who said, when somebody shows you who they are, you need to believe them. So when you hear these people talking about the removal from society of unvaccinated people, I want you to believe that that's what they intend to do. And I want you to adjust yourself accordingly. Charlton just said, Trevor Noah, thank you. But do you understand what I'm saying? When these people tell you that the unvaccinated need to be removed from society, I want you to believe them. I want you to let that thought sink down into your brain that yes, they do wish to remove you from society. Because if you don't accept what they are saying, when they come for you, you're going to be really surprised and you're going to be very unprepared. And I'm not saying that they might come for you. I am telling you that they will come for you. Maybe not this week or this month or 2021, but I am telling you, and I want you to believe what I am saying. They are coming for you. Every time they open their mouths, they broadcast their intentions. Do you know that in 1924, when Adolf Hitler was put into the jail because he was a troublemaker and he was having all these rallies and people were getting hurt and people were getting killed, and they put Adolf Hitler in jail. While he sat there, he wrote a book called Mein Kampf. And in that book, Mein Kampf, Adolf Hitler told the world what he would do if they ever let him out. And guess what? They let him out. And guess what again? He did exactly, in real life, what he said he was going to do in his book. And the reason why the entire world was so surprised by World War II and so surprised by the Holocaust and so surprised by all these different things is because they failed to believe what Adolf Hitler said he was going to do. And when he did it, they were not prepared. Now, we know that 6 million Jewish people were killed in the Holocaust. Nobody doubts that. Nobody with a brain anyway. But did you also know that in addition to 6 million Jews being killed in the Holocaust, 6 million Gentiles were also killed in the concentration camps, making a total of approximately 12 million people. But did you also know that 55 million people died in World War II around the world. It was a multi-front war. It involved Europe. It involved Asia. It involved the United States and a couple of dozen other countries that sent troops. 55 million people died because nobody believed what Adolf Hitler said when he wrote it down in his stupid little book in 1925. Maya Angelou said, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. When somebody tells you what they're going to do, take them at face value. And if you don't do that, then the problem is not with them, the problem is with you. If somebody says that you are a detriment to society because of what you believe, and that person says that you need to be removed from society, if you're a smart person, especially if you have the discernment of the Holy Spirit, if you're born again, if you're saved, and you don't believe that person who says they want to get rid of you, then, my friends, the responsibility is no longer on them. The responsibility is on you. Now, as for me personally, when I listen to Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo and Joe Biden and Jen Psaki and every Democrat in America open their mouth and say that the unvaccinated need to be removed from society, I believe them. And I am preparing accordingly. And if you're smart, you would do the same thing. Now, you might ask me, well, what does preparing accordingly mean? Well, I think it means something different to everybody. We don't all live in the same part of America. We don't all live in the same place. We don't all come from the same economic background, sociological background. We're all different races and heights, and male and female, young and old. The type of preparation that I need to do may be different from the type of preparation that you need to do. But what everybody can do, everybody can go to the Lord and say, God, make me ready for when this day happens. And again, I am not giving you fear mongering. I'm telling you the truth. I'm trying to wake you up. I am telling you that they're going to come for you because they are already starting to say it right now. So, we're living in a time, the show we did last week on the New World Order on September 10th, last Friday, that was the biggest program that we had ever done, and I put a whole lot of work into that, and I got lots of really good feedback. In fact, one of the rare programs, no negative feedback of any kind. And many people told me that the amount of information that was in that program about the New World Order, they said, was astounding. And if you haven't listened to that program, I ask you to go back and listen to it. Last Friday's podcast, all of our programs are in the archive at nowtheendbegins.com. Plus, they're on Sermon Audio, and they're on Apple and iTunes and Google Play. But the primary place that you can go to get shows that we've already done is right here at nowtheendbegins.com. And if you haven't listened to that program, go listen to it. And if you've only listened to it once, go back and listen to it again. Because last week we laid out for you that this plan to bring in the New World Order is not new. Well, we read about it, of course, in the book of Revelation. But in America and in Europe, for about the last 100 or so years, we have seen increasing preparations for the New World Order. And as we have told you multiple times, there are two main ways that they are planning to bring in the New World Order. One way is through population reduction. And what they want to do is they want to reduce the population. Bill Gates, his father used to be the CEO of Planned Parenthood. Can you imagine that? Bill Gates sitting around the table with his sister and his mother, listening to stories from his father about how the world needs to be reshaped by reducing the population.
One issue that really grabbed me as urgent were issues related to population, reproductive health.
But did you come to reproductive issues as an intellectual?
When I was growing up, my parents were always involved in various volunteer things. My dad was head of Planned Parenthood. And it was very controversial to be involved with that.
Bill Gates just told you that he grew up with his father who was running Planned Parenthood. And Bill Gates has long said that he would sit around the dinner table and they would be discussing ways to reduce the global population. And back in 2010, and then he repeated it in 2015, Bill Gates said, just like you heard him say in that clip, reproductive health, that's liberal talk for abortion, and vaccinations. Well, you think that's a new thing? No. Listen to what David Rockefeller said a half of a century ago.
Ironically, however, the very innovations that are making possible dramatic improvements in human well-being are also creating new problems which raise the specter of an alarming and possibly catastrophic disaster to the biosphere we live in. And herein lies the dilemma that we all face.
I'm going to stop David Rockefeller right there. He just warned you of a cataclysmic disaster. You want to know what that cataclysmic disaster is to David Rockefeller? More people. This is how these people view the population. David Rockefeller, speaking over a half of a century ago, is warning you of the coming cataclysmic disaster of more people.
Let me illustrate. Improved public health has caused the world's infant mortality rate to decline by 60% over the last 40 years. In the same period, the world's average life expectancy has increased from 46 years in 1950 to 63 years today. This is a development which, as individuals, we can only applaud. However, the result of these positive measures is a world population that has risen during the same short period of time geometrically to almost 6 billion people and could easily exceed 8 billion by the year 2020. The negative impact of population growth on all of our planetary ecosystems is becoming
Now, isn't that interesting? Isn't that so coincidental? Did you hear what David Rockefeller said? Speaking around 1988, he told you, watch out for the year 2020. Did you catch that? Did you catch David Rockefeller telling you population explosion, all these different things, and then he mentions the year 2020. Wow, that was a great guess, wasn't it? No. Wake up. Wasn't a guess. 2020 was the year they had it planned. Bill Gates told you that this was coming.
CO2 is warming the planet. And the equation on CO2 is actually a very straightforward one. If you sum up the CO2 that gets emitted, that leads to a temperature increase. And that temperature increase leads to some very negative effects. The effects on the weather, perhaps worse, the indirect effects in that the natural ecosystems can't adjust to these rapid changes, and so you get ecosystem collapses. Now, the exact amount of how you map from a certain increase in of CO2 to what temperature will be and where the positive feedbacks are, there's some uncertainty there, but not very much. And there's certainly uncertainty about how bad those effects will be, but they will be extremely bad. I asked the top scientists on this several times, do we really have to get down to near zero? Can't we just, you know, cut it in half or a quarter? And the answer is that until we get near to zero, the temperature will continue to rise. And so that's a big challenge. It's very different than saying, you know, we're a 12-foot high truck trying to get under a 10-foot bridge and we can just sort of squeeze under. This is something that has to get to zero. Now, we put out a lot of carbon dioxide every year, over 26 billion tons. For each American, it's about 20 tons. For people in poor countries, it's less than 1 ton. It's an average of about 5 tons for everyone on the planet. And somehow we have to make changes that will bring that down to zero. It's been constantly going up. It's only various economic changes that have even flattened it at all. So we have to go from rapidly rising to falling and falling all the way to zero. This equation has four factors, mm-hmm. A little bit of multiplication.
The first factor is people.
Thing on the left, CO2, that you want to get to zero.
Come on,
and
Bill.
And that's going to be based on the number of people, the services,
each person
using on average, the energy on average for each service, and the CO2 being put out per unit of energy.
How are you going to get rid of those people, Bill?
And see how we can get this down to zero.
Yeah, let's take a
look. Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero.
Yeah, probably the people.
Now, that's back from high school algebra. But let's take a look.
That's funny.
First, we've got population.
Oh, okay.
Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
All right, so you just heard Bill Gates say what he repeated from an interview that he gave 25 years ago, that clip that I played for you about his father being the head of Planned Parenthood. That's a clip that goes back to the early 90s. The clip that I just played for you right now is only 6 years old. And you can see, going back to what David Rockefeller said, back to what Bill Gates Sr. said, what Bill Gates said 25 years ago, what he said 6 years ago, reproductive health services, abortion, and vaccinations can reduce the population by 15%. Now, Joe Biden said yesterday, or rather his administration said for him, that they're going to cut the amount of life-saving monoclonal antibodies to the same states where you have a lot of Republicans who voted for Trump. Now, you remember Don Lemon. He said that the people, the Republicans who refuse the vaccine are stupid people. He said they should be left behind and they should be removed from society because they're stupid. Well, Joe Biden has a plan to remove them from society faster by denying them life-saving treatment.
He promised on September 9th that he was going to send 50% more supply of monoclonal antibodies to states. Yet, the Biden administration is cutting supplies in red states by 50%. So, for example, in Florida, they were expecting to get 70,000 doses this week, which they say they need. They're only getting 30,000 doses. And this is not just for unvaccinated people. In South Florida, half the people who are seeking this treatment are fully vaccinated. So,
all right. So this is a clip from the White House press room yesterday. And the woman who was asking this question of Joe Biden's press secretary, Jen Psaki, she does not work for Fox News. And you just heard this woman say that in South Florida, I live in Northeast Florida, I am about 5 hours away from Miami, and you heard this reporter tell Jen Psaki that 50% of everybody who's in the hospital with COVID is vaccinated, fully vaccinated. Joe Biden has decided that it's time to start cutting life-saving medicine that is sent to the states where you have a lot of Republicans who voted for Trump who are stupid anti-vaxxers. When somebody shows you who they are, believe them. Don Lemon says that if you're a stupid anti-vaccination Trump-voting Republican, you should be left behind. You should be denied access to the emergency room. And now Joe Biden has gone one step further. Now he's denying access to the medicine. So even if you get to the emergency room, they may not have the medicine that you need when you get there. When somebody shows you who they are, believe them. If I can make you see just one thing today, that's what I need you to see. That when you hear these Democrats say these absolutely unbelievable things that are so horrific, when you stop to think about it, and it's so horrific that your mind won't allow you to believe it, you need to believe it anyway. Habakkuk 1:5, the most potent verse for the times that we find ourselves in. Habakkuk 1:5, behold ye among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. If you have a King James Bible, if you read it, if you believe it, if you're saved, you know what's going to happen. You don't need me to tell you that. If you're saved and you have a King James Bible, you read it, you believe it, well, then you know everything I know. This is what the Bible says is going to take place. This is what the world is preparing itself for. Antichrist. Now, we who are saved are not looking for Antichrist. We are waiting for Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. While you wait for Jesus Christ to come and get us, and he is coming and he will get us, you need to keep an eye on the other guy. You're not waiting for the other guy. You're not looking for the other guy. But don't let that guy sneak up on you, because he is the ultimate deceiver. While you wait for Jesus Christ, be busy. I believe the rapture could literally be any day. That's just my own personal belief. You don't have to share it. If you don't want to, doesn't bother me at all. But I look for the pre-tribulation rapture of the church because my King James Bible tells me that it's coming, and it tells me to be looking for that blessed hope and for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I do that to the best of my ability on a daily basis. And at the same time, I'm keeping an eye out for the other guy, because while I wait for Jesus Christ, if he can take me out, he will. So all these lukewarm Christians who say, we don't look for Antichrist, we look for Jesus Christ, those are the people getting nothing done for the Lord. Those are the people not handing out any gospel tracts, not handing out any Bibles, not witnessing to see people get saved. Don't listen to those people. Be ready. Be prepared. The liberal left in America and in Europe and in Asia, they want to get rid of me and you. And they're going to use COVID to do it if they can. This is where we are. This is what's happening. You know, it was only 6 months ago that the very same people in America who are calling for the removal of the unvaccinated, they all said vaccines cannot be forced on any American.
We cannot require someone to be vaccinated. That's just not what we can do.
Needless to say, the right of women to make decisions about their own bodies is not negotiable.
No, definitely not. You don't want to mandate and try and force anyone to take a vaccine. We've never done that.
Our interest is very simple, from the federal government, which is Americans' privacy and rights should be protected.
It is a matter of privacy to know who is or who isn't.
We don't want to be mandating from the federal government to the general population. It would be unenforceable and not appropriate.
Perhaps the federal government should step in and issue mandates, and if not, are you putting the needs of unvaccinated people ahead of the needs of vaccinated people?
Well, I think the question here, one, that's not the role of the federal government.
No, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand to be mandatory.
First, we must increase vaccinations among the unvaccinated with new vaccination requirements.
And there you have it. You just listened to Nancy Pelosi, Vice President Kamala Harris, President Joe Biden, Anthony Fauci. You just heard all those people from 6 months ago telling you that vaccinations cannot be mandated. And now, 6 months later, if you don't take the vaccine, you are a stupid Republican Trump supporter, and you need to be left behind. And they have already started the process of denying people life-saving medicine. How far do you think it's going to go? I think it's going to go all the way. I think it's going to get to the point of putting the unvaccinated in concentration camps. That's what I think is going to happen.
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Are you crazy? Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's impossible.
Is it? Or is it so possible that your head is spinning like a top?
It can't be.
Can it? Or is your entire world just crashing down all around you?
All right, that's enough.
Yeah!
George H.W. Bush said the New World Order was coming. He says, when we're successful, and we will be, man, they've been pretty successful so far. Here's one for you. Take a listen to this, and then I'll explain it to you.
We need to get all the health tools out to the entire world. Diagnostics are very key because you can identify who's spreading the disease and change behavior. This diagnostic, the Lumura DX, is amazing. It's an innovation, cheaper and smaller than the diagnostic devices that came before. Countries can take it out to remote areas and get the results in just 12 minutes. The foundation, Lumira, and a new group called the African Medical Supplies Platform reserved over 5,000 of these for Africa.
When COVID-19 arrived in Kenya, we...
So there you have Bill Gates talking about something called the Lumira DX. And he is enthusiastically promoting Lumira DX as a COVID-19 rapid testing solution. Well, I did a little bit of investigation. I spent, I think, 4 or 5 seconds going to Google to find out if there was some sort of a connection. Could it possibly be that there's some... Now, this clip that I just played from Bill Gates was... Bill Gates posted that to his YouTube channel 2 days ago. So, when I saw that clip this morning, I spent 4 or 5 seconds going to Google to see if there could possibly be any type of a connection between Lumira DX and Bill Gates. And what did I find? I found a multi-million dollar thank you for investing on LumiraDX.com. And the Lumira DX people are just so thankful to Bill and Melinda Gates for investing all that money. We told you a couple of months ago, and when we told you this, it was immediately flagged and blocked on Facebook. And then I was suspended for 72 hours for this story that I'm going to tell you about right now. So that clip that you just heard me play, that was Bill Gates. That's what he posted to his own YouTube channel 2 days ago, talking about what a great solution the Lumira DX rapid testing kit is. Well, we told you on July 20th of 2021, George Soros and Bill Gates have just created a massive, highly funded company called Global Access Health. And guess what business they have gone in together? The rapid COVID-19 testing business. Do you think that Bill Gates stands to make a profit from these vaccines and vaccinations? Do you think that Bill Gates stands to make a profit with this new company that he has just formed with George Soros? You remember George Soros. What type of person is George Soros? Take a listen.
You're a Hungarian Jew mm-hmm. who escaped the Holocaust mm-hmm. by posing as a Christian.
Right.
And you watched lots of people get shipped off to the death camps.
Right. I was 14 years old. And I would say that that's when my character was made.
In what way?
That one should think ahead, one should understand and anticipate events. One is threatened. It was a tremendous threat of evil. I mean, it was a very personal experience of evil.
My understanding is that you went out with this protector of yours who swore that you were his adopted godson.
Yes, yes.
Went out, in fact, and helped in the confiscation of property from the Jews.
That's right. Yes.
I mean, that sounds like an experience that would send lots of people to the psychiatric couch for many, many years.
So here you have George Soros. This is from the 1980s, and he's being interviewed on a program called 60 Minutes. And he is being asked if he has any regrets about siding with the Nazis as a young man, pretending to be a Christian, and then helping the Nazis to steal property from the Jewish people who were his friends, family, and neighbors. George Soros is about to tell you what type of person he is. When somebody shows you who they are, believe them.
Was it difficult?
Not at all. Not at all. Maybe as a child, you don't see the connection. But it created no problem at all.
No feeling.
No problem.
No.
For
no,
example,
none.
I'm Jewish, and here I am watching these people go. I could just as easily be there. I should be there. None of that.
Well, of course, I could be on the other side, or I could be the one from whom the thing is being taken away. But there was no sense that I shouldn't be there, because that was... well, actually, funny way, it's just like in markets, that if I weren't there, of course I wasn't doing it, but somebody else would be taking it away anyhow. In other words, whether I was there or not, I was only a spectator, the property was being taken away.
George Soros was not only a spectator. George Soros gave information to the Nazis that helped send his Jewish friends and neighbors. A lot of people don't know George Soros is Jewish. John 8:44 speaks of people like George Soros. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. That's what Jesus said to the Jewish people who sought to kill him. George Soros, you just heard him say, he had no regrets, no problems. He answered very lightheartedly. He even chuckled a couple of times, talking about how he assisted the Nazis in stealing property from his Jewish friends and neighbors. And he had no problem doing it. You heard him say, well, if it wasn't me doing it, somebody else would have. So it might as well be me. Well, that same person just formed a company with Bill Gates. And they want to corner the market on rapid COVID-19 testing. And I just played that clip for you a couple of minutes ago. Bill Gates saying Lumira DX is the future. Do you know why Bill Gates is saying Lumira DX is the future of rapid COVID-19 testing? Because he gave that company millions of dollars. I finally found the clip where Bill Gates says he makes a 20-to-1 return on his investments in vaccines. Took me a long time to finally find the actual clip of Bill Gates saying how much he profits from vaccine sales. And I want you to think about what you're about to hear. When Bill Gates left Microsoft, he was the richest man in the world with $95 billion. He has made many times more than that from vaccines. Take a listen. Bill Gates talking about the best investment he ever made with a 20-to-1 investment return.
We're here today with Bill Gates. A lot to talk about what he's been working on. And Mr. Gates, thank you so much for being with us. I'd like to talk to you about your approach to vaccinations. You wrote something recently, and like you always do, you kind of looked at the problem from a scientific and business perspective on things. You've invested $10 billion in vaccinations over the last two decades, and you figured out the return on investment for that. And it kind of stunned me. Can you walk?
So there you have that woman. She just said, Bill Gates, you've invested personally over $10 billion in vaccines over the last two decades. And she said, you have figured out the return on investment. And she said, it stunned me.
Because of the math.
Well, it's pretty impressive that when you take these vaccines, get them to be very inexpensive by making big volume commitments, have that right relationship with the private sector, get the delivery system so they're really getting the coverage out there, you literally save millions of lives. And 20 years ago when we created these new multilateral organizations, Gavi for the vaccines, Global Fund for HIV, TB and malaria, we didn't know they'd be successful. They've gone through lots of challenges about making sure the money gets there, making sure the efficiency is right. But as we look at upcoming replenishments for those, and we've got so much distraction politically that the international needs like this could get eclipsed if we're not careful, you know, we see a phenomenal track record. It's been $100 billion overall that the world's put in. Our foundation is a bit more than $10 billion, but we feel there's been over a 20-to-1 return. So if you just look at the economic benefits, that's a pretty strong number compared to anything else.
All right, so you just heard Bill Gates say that he himself has put $10 billion into the vaccine business. Anybody know what $10 billion times 20 is? If you were good at math, how much would 10 billion times 20 be? That would be $200 billion. That's how much Bill Gates has personally made. Now, do you see why the woman who's interviewing him And this is at a Davos meeting in Switzerland in 2019. Right as he was planning Event 201. And he looks into this woman's eyes and he says, I have received a 20-to-1 return on my $10 billion investment. Now do you see the direction that everything is going? Now do you see why they need to inject the entire world, and the people who refuse the injections are going to be cast out of society? They are going to be denied life-saving medicine. They're going to be denied trips to the emergency room. They're going to be castigated. They're going to be cast out.
The human benefit in millions of lives saved. So, you know, we're here with a pretty strong message that although all these other issues are very important, let's not forget about the great success in global health and maintaining that commitment.
I think the numbers that you ran through were, if you had put that money into an S&P 500 and reinvested the dividends, you'd come up with something like $17 billion, but you think it's $200 billion.
Here, yeah. You know, helping young children live, get the right nutrition, contribute to their countries, that has a payback that goes beyond any typical financial return.
Right. Scott Gottlieb, the FDA commissioner, just wrote an op-ed piece in the New York Times, I think over this past weekend. And he took a look at it and said, because of all the anti-vaxxers, people who are opposed to this in the United States and other places, but especially in the United States, he's worried that the power of vaccinations is really potentially going to be lost. That it will.
So now Bill Gates is being asked about those nasty anti-vaxxers. You know, the same ones that Don Lemon said need to be cast out of society. The same ones that Joe Biden says that we need to deny them life-saving medical treatments. Let's see what Bill Gates has to say about the unvaccinated.
No longer be an effective medical tool if people decide not to get vaccinated, because we've forgotten about how terrible some of these diseases are. Do you worry about that?
Well, we often have the challenge that as you get successful, as you get a disease down to very small numbers, people forget. And so they back off. You know, they think, gosh, I heard some rumor. You know, maybe I'll just avoid doing it. And the chance their kids, say, dying of measles is pretty low.
All right, I can't take any more of his whiny, girlish voice. But I think you see where everything is going. Bill Gates just told you he invested $10 billion of his Microsoft money. And he has received over $200 billion in return. And now he's taken some of those profits and he's formed a company with George Soros, the very same person who you just heard him say he could sell out his Jewish friends and neighbors to the Nazis, denying that he was Jewish, pretending to be a Christian. And all these years later, he has no regrets, no softening of his heart. These same people are not only controlling this epidemic, they have created this epidemic. Don Lemon says that the stupid unvaccinated need to be removed from society. I want to play a clip for you now, and this clip is going to be upsetting. And I'm not going to play a whole lot of it because this clip is going to make you mad. But I want you to listen to this clip. It happened this week in New York City. And let me set it up for you. A black family is in a pizza restaurant in New York City. A man, his wife, and their two children. And when the waiter comes over to take their order, asking for a vaccine card, and the man said that he is unvaccinated, he is told that him and his family have to leave the restaurant. But the reason why I'm playing this clip for you is not because of that. I want you to hear what this man says, and the restaurant is about 75% filled with people. There's a couple of dozen people eating pizza at this restaurant. I want you to listen to the question that this man asks his fellow human beings. Take a listen.
So you're refusing to serve us? Are you refusing to serve us? So you're going to enforce segregation because we just told you that we're religiously exempt.
You told us we had your vaccination
card. I never told you any of that.
You have to leave.
You don't have to leave. If you have the flyer, you have the flyer that you're supposed to put into your window, right? Okay, go and read it. Go and read it. And you tell me we're not leaving. Well, I'm not leaving. You guys can leave. I'm not leaving. We just marched for this. Everybody in here is okay with that? Everybody's in here okay with setting segregation in society? Everybody's okay with that?
So here you have this man who has been told he has to leave the restaurant, a restaurant relatively filled with people, and he says that he has proof of a religious exemption. The restaurant is choosing to not honor the religious exemption. And now this man, doesn't matter what color he is, I'm just giving you the context. This man turns to his fellow human beings and he says, are all of you people okay with what's happening?
Oh, we don't have our vaccine card, so now the kids can't eat. This is the America you want to live in?
Yep.
Is this the America you want to live in? No, fuck you. You see? You're not American. That's why you need to get the fuck out of here if you're not American. All right? Get the fuck out of here. Okay? This is America, and in America, everybody can eat. Everybody can eat in America. All right? This is not segregation. This is America. You need to wake up. This is the kind of country you want to live in? You want to live in this type of country? Wow. Everybody's okay with this? I told you.
Nobody came to his aid. Nobody stood up to help him. If you watch the video, a number of these same people are giving him the middle finger. And he's asking, he's on the verge of tears. And he's asking them, is this the type of America that you want to live in? And they all said yes. They all said yes. There was a pastor by the name of Martin Niemöller, and Martin Niemöller was born in Lippstadt, Germany on January 14th of 1892. And after experiencing the horrors of World War I and World War II and Adolf Hitler, Niemöller wrote the following. First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews. And I didn't speak out because I wasn't a Jew. And then they came for me. And there was no one left to speak for me. When somebody shows you who they are, believe them. The liberals are telling you that you don't belong in society. In America, they have started the process of denying life-saving medication to people with COVID. All the liberal news organizations, and I've already shown you a number of their lies today, they are driving an agenda that is so hard, I can hardly even believe it myself, and I'm the one telling you about it. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Brothers and sisters, we are living in a very unique time of human history. We are living in a time that is rapidly closing. The professing Christian church around the world has become weak and lukewarm and powerless. And every time I say that, I get angry people who tell me, well, my church is not weak and powerless. And I say, really, what is your church doing? And they don't have an answer. They don't have a reply. The Apostle Paul says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, for the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall be turned away from the truth unto fables. Paul goes on to tell Timothy, he says, the time of my departure is at hand. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And I'm asking you today, are you now ready to be offered? Because let me tell you something, one way or the other, you're going to be offered. One way or the other, you are on the chopping block. I'm not talking about some future time. I'm talking about right here, right now, happening while you watch. It's amazing what you can see when you turn off the radio when you drive in your car. It's amazing what you can actually see around you when you stop incessantly watching football, baseball, basketball, the Olympics. Have you ever wondered what you would actually see if you turned everything off and just took people at face value with their own words? You should try it sometime. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3 that the last church before the rapture, the lukewarm Laodicean church, one of the ways that you know that the Laodicean church is not a tribulation church is because nobody in the tribulation is lukewarm. Everybody in the tribulation is boiling hot. So we know that the Laodicean church cannot be a tribulation church. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And then you read down in the passage, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh. Now, in the context, Jesus is not talking about the world, the flesh, and the devil. He is talking about the lukewarm Laodicean church, where they're doing nothing. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. You open that door and I'll work with you one-on-one. But you've got to overcome, yes, the world, the flesh, and the devil, but in the context, you've got to overcome the lukewarm company of Laodicean Christians that you're surrounded with, where all you care about is the roof over your own head, the food on your own table, and the clothes on your own back. That's what lukewarm people do. That's how lukewarm people think. They are only concerned about their own comfort. If you want to know what it's like to be really uncomfortable, why don't you go out and start a ministry like Now the End Begins and see where that path takes you? You want to talk about being uncomfortable? You want to talk about having no friends? You want to talk about being homeless? You want to talk about losing everything twice? You want to talk about being uncomfortable? Start working to get something done for the Lord and you'll be uncomfortable. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is told, don't go to Jerusalem. Because if you go there, Paul, it's going to be bad. Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Even the Holy Spirit is telling Paul, Paul, if you go there, they're going to lock you up and they're going to cut your head off. What did Paul say? But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why? So that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Why? For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now listen to me. Believe these people when they say that they're coming for you, because they are coming for you. Believe them when they tell you that you don't deserve medical treatment, that you don't deserve to be taken to the emergency room if you have an emergency. Listen to what that man, when he's crying out, is there nobody who will stand with me? Is this the type of America that you want? And not one single person stood with that man. That just happened 2 days ago in New York City. If you want to see the video for yourself, go to the DC Shorts YouTube channel. But I am telling you that they're coming for you. And you need to be ready. I'm not talking about stockpiling your house and barricading your door and going out and buying guns. You think that's going to help you? It's not. I am talking about being ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, either through death or through rapture. And to make sure that when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, that you have done everything that you could do. If you're praying, if your ministry is to pray, I want you to double that, to triple that. If your ministry is to go out into the streets like Kentucky Jeffrey in Ohio, and go preach in front of baseball and football games, double what you do. If your ministry is to give and support the work of ministries like Now the End Begins, helping us send out Bibles and put up gospel witness billboards, if that's what you can do, double it. I'm giving everything I have to this job to get this mission accomplished for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care how many friends I lose in the process. I don't care who stands against me. None of these things move me. And it's taken me years to get to that point where I finally understand what the Apostle Paul truly meant when he said that he was ready to go. Time is almost gone. It's almost gone here with the broadcast today, but it is almost gone from a spiritual and practical perspective as well. And let me tell you something. When that plug finally gets pulled, things will happen so fast that you won't have time to do anything. Whatever you're going to do for the Lord Jesus Christ, do it now. Because when it finally happens, there will be no time left. You will be, when they finally come for you, it will be so upsetting and so distracting and so confusing. Even now, people are starting to be fired from their jobs. My inbox is filled with emails from people. What do I do? What do I do? If I don't take the jab, they're going to fire me. You got to go to the Lord and say, Lord, show me what to do. I went to the Lord and said, Lord, show me what to do. And he said, fire up a microphone and warn the people. Send Bibles out around the world and give the King James Bible to people who need it. Put billboards up in St. Augustine and Georgia and Baton Rouge. When I went to the Lord, that's what he told me to do. And I'm doing it. You got to go to the Lord and ask him what you need to do. I can't tell you that. Nobody can tell you that. And if you're not saved, well, the Lord can tell you that, but no human being can tell you that. And if you're not saved, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. You're going to lift up your eyes, being in torments, and there's going to be no getting out. Don't go there. Get saved. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Get saved, get saved, get saved. And if you are saved, get something done for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can't get it done, then help somebody else who can get it done. We are all in this together. And that's why I love my Now the End Begins family. I get so much encouragement and comfort and support and sustenance from you guys. It helps me to go on. It helps me to want to go on. We're all in this together. Heavenly Father, tough message today. Thank you, Lord, for the good spirit in the chat room. Thank you, Lord, for all the hundreds of people listening, the thousands that will be listening in the archives. Lord, use us in a mighty way. Help us to get something done here and now, while we still can, before that door shuts completely. Give us everything we need, Lord, to get something done for you in these last days. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray for me, please. Pray for this ministry. Pray for Harmon and Jeanette and Lorianne and me as we minister. We need your prayers. Thank you so much. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m., for our NTEB House Church Sunday morning service. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Listen to me like you've never listened to me, ever in your life. We have got to lay our lives down for the purposes of God. This is not a Sunday school picnic, the Church of Jesus Christ. This is not an invitation to have continuous good times. This is a war for the souls of men. Come out from among them. Run for your life. Because this is about your life. It's not just about an opposing theology or conflicting viewpoint on Jesus. This is about your life. My mind is forever branded with the story that I heard of police officers from the city of New York. As people were fleeing from a crumbling building, there were police officers and firemen and others that were running towards the building saying, run for your life at their own peril. And in some cases, I believe they knew they were going to die, but there was a sense of duty. I was crying out to God. I said, God, oh Jesus, don't let my sense of duty be less for your kingdom than these beloved firemen and policemen were for those that are perishing in the falling tower. We're living in a generation when truth is falling into the streets. I want to be among those that are not running away from the conflict, but running into the conflict and saying, run for your life. Run from gospels that focus only on success and prosperity. Run! Run from those who use the name of Christ only for his personal gain. Run from those that are picking your pocket in the name of Jesus. Run! Run from gospels that only focus on self-improvement. Run! Run from churches where men and not Christ are glorified. Run! Run! Body of Christ, run! Get out! Don't touch the unclean thing! Run from churches in America and Canada where there is no Bible. There's no cross in the theology. There's no soul-searching word. There's no repentance from sin. There's no mention of the blood of Jesus. Run! It's unclean! Run! Run from churches where you're comfortable in your sins. If you come into the house of God and you've got sin in your life and you're not convicted of it, you're at a table of devils. Run from pulpits that are filled with political men who are using the pulpit of God for a personal political agenda. Run! Run from those who preach division between races and cultures. Run! Run! Get out! Turn it off! Get away from it! They know nothing of God! Run from ungodly, spasmodic movements and endless, empty prophesying. Beloved church, run for your life. Run from preachers that stand and tell stories and jokes. Run like you've never run before. Run! Run! Run!